Number two, the Christian must offer violence to Satan. Satan opposes us both by open violence and secret treachery. Satan opposes by open violence, so he is called the Red Dragon. Satan opposes by secret treachery, so he is called the Old Serpent. We read in Scripture of his snares and darts. He hurts more by snares than by his darts. Number one, his violence. He labors to storm the castle of the heart. He stirs up passion, lust, and revenge. These are called fiery darts, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, because they often set the soul on fire. Satan, in regard to his fierceness, is called a lion. Quote, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Close quote. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. "Not whom he may bite, but devour." Number two, his treachery. What he cannot do by force, he will endeavor to do by fraud. Satan has several subtle devices in tempting. Number one, in suiting his temptations to the temper of the individual. Satan studies our constitutions and lays suitable bait. He knew Achan's covetous heart and tempted him with a wedge of gold. He tempts the youthful man with lust. Number two, another of Satan's subtleties is to draw men to evil under a pretense of good. The pirate does mischief by hanging out the false colors. So does Satan by hanging out the colors of religion. He puts some men upon sinful actions and persuades them that much good will come of it. He tells them in some cases that they may dispense with the rule of the word and stretch their conscience beyond that line, that they may be in a capacity of doing more service, as if God needed our sin to raise his glory. Number three, Satan tempts to sin gradually. As the farmer digs about the root of a tree and by degrees loosens it, and at last it falls, Satan steals into the heart by degrees. He is at first more modest. He did not say to Eve at first, "Eat the apple." No, but he goes more subtly to work. He puts forth a question. "Has God said?" Surely, Eve, you are mistaken. The bountiful God never intended to debar one of the best trees in the garden. Has God said? Surely, either God did not say it, or if he did, he never really intended it. Thus, by degrees, he wrought her to distrust God. And then she took of the fruit and ate. Oh, take heed of Satan's first motions to sin, which seem more modest. He is first called a fox, and then a lion. Number four, Satan tempts to evil in lawful things. It was lawful for Noah to eat the fruit of the grape, but he took too much, and so sinned. Excess turns that which is good into evil. Eating and drinking may turn to intemperance. Industry in one's calling, when excessive, becomes covetousness. Satan draws men to an immoderate love of the creature and then makes them sin in that which they love, as Agrippina poisoned her husband Claudius with that very food which he loved the most. Number five, Satan puts men upon doing good out of evil ends. If he cannot hurt them by scandalous actions, he will by virtuous actions. Thus he tempts some to espouse religion out of ulterior motives, and to give to charity for applause that others may see their good works. This hypocrisy does leaven the duties of religion and makes them lose their reward. Number six, the devil persuades men to evil by such as are good. This sets a gloss upon his temptations and makes them less suspected. The devil has made use sometimes of the most eminent and holy men to promote his temptations. The devil tempted Christ by an apostle. Peter dissuades him from suffering. Avraham, a good man, bids his wife equivocate. Say, you are my sister. These are Satan's subtleties in tempting. Now, here, we must offer violence to Satan, number one, by faith. Quote, resist him, standing firm in the faith, close quote. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Faith is a wise, intelligent grace. It can see a hook under the bait. Number two, it is an heroic grace. It is said, above all, to quench the fiery darts of Satan. Faith resists the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Number one, faith keeps the castle of the heart so that it does not yield. It is not being tempted, which makes us guilty, but rather the giving of consent. Faith enters its protest against Satan. Number two, faith not only not yields, but beats back the temptation. Faith holds the promise in one hand and Christ in the other. The promise encourages faith, and Christ strengthens it. So, faith beats the enemy out of the field. Number two, we must offer violence to Satan by prayer. We overcome him upon our knees. As Samson called to heaven for help, so a Christian by prayer fetches in auxiliary forces from heaven. In all temptations, go to God by prayer. Quote, Lord, teach me to use every piece of the spiritual armor, how to hold the shield, how to wear the helmet, how to use the sword of the Spirit. Lord, strengthen me in the battle. Let me rather die a conqueror than to be taken prisoner and led by Satan in triumph. Close quote. Thus, we must offer violence to Satan. There is a lion in the way, but we must resolve upon fighting. And let this encourage us to offer violence to Satan. Our enemy is beaten in part already. Christ, who is the captain of our salvation, has given Satan his death wound upon the cross. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. The serpent is soonest killed in his head. Christ has bruised the head of the old serpent. He is a chained enemy and a conquered enemy. Therefore, do not fear him. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Number 3. The Christian must offer violence to the world. The world shows its golden apple. It is a part of our Christian profession to fight under Christ's banner against the world. Take heed of being drowned in the world's luscious delights. It must be a strong brain that can bear heady wine. He had need have a great deal of wisdom and grace who knows how to maintain a great estate. Riches often send up intoxicating fumes, which make men's heads giddy with pride. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15. It is hard to climb up the hill of God with too many golden weights. Those who desire the honors of the world receive the temptations of it. The world is a flattering enemy. It is given to some, as Michal to David, for a snare. The world shows its two breasts of pleasure and profit, and many fall asleep with the breast in their mouth. The world never kisses us except with an intent to betray us. The world is a silken halter. The world is no friend to grace. It chokes our love to heavenly things. The earth puts out the fire. Naturally, we love the world. Job chapter 31, verse 24. If I have made gold my hope, as the Septuagint renders it, if I have been married to my gold, those too many are wedded to their money. They live together as man and wife. Oh, let us take heed of being entangled in this pleasing snare. Many who have escaped the rock of scandalous sins, yet have sunk in the world's golden quicksands. The sin is not in using the world, but rather in loving it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, quote, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Close quote. If we are Christians, we must offer violence to the world. Believers are called out of the world. Quote, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of it." Close quote. John chapter 17, verse 16. They're in the world, but not of it. As we say of a dying man, he is not a man for this world. A true saint is crucified in his affections to the world. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. He is dead to the honors and pleasures of it. What delight does a dead man take in pictures or music? Jesus Christ gave himself to redeem us from this present evil world. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. If we will be saved, we must offer violence to the world. Living fish swim against the stream. We must swim against the world else we shall be carried down the stream and fall into the Dead Sea of Hell. That we may offer violence to the world, let us remember, 1, the world is deceitful. Our Savior calls it the deceitfulness of riches, Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. The world promises happiness, but gives less. It promises us Rachel, but gives us bleary-eyed Leah. The world promises to satisfy our desires, but only increases them. The world gives poison pills, but wraps them in sugar. 2, the world is polluting. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James chapter 1, verse 27. As if the apostle would intimate that the world is good for nothing but to pollute. It first pollutes men's consciences, and then their names. It is called filthy lucre. Titus chapter 1, verse 7. Because it makes men so filthy. They will damn themselves to get the world. Ahab would have Naboth's vineyard, though he swam to it in blood. 3, the world is perishing. Quote, the world and its desires pass away, close quote, 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. The world is like a flower which withers while we are smelling it.